Getting a new roof on the house, guys.
Ooh.
Congrats.
Big moves here. So contacted my guys at and they've made me an offer that I can't refuse. So
what we do here is go back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Wheel Route Podcast. This here is a mildly legitimate conversation amongst friends and lovers about college football and lifestyle. You can find us, The Wheel Route, on the internet, www.thewheelroute.com. You can send us emails to wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com. If you got a question or you got a take that you just need to get off your chest, send it there. You can get the show from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the Google Podcatcher Center area. Rest in peace, perhaps, to that. We're on the internet. We'll wrap podcasts on Instagram as well. My name is Logan Whitehouse. I'm on Twitter, X at LogwanTheDawn. And I'm coming to you guys from Stuart, Florida, where, you know, we're dealing with our 2.5 days of winter here, guys. So it's been tough. You know, it's really, really put the hoodies to the test the last couple days. But I'm happy to have a hoodie. Yeah, I think we're going to make it, though. It was pretty warm this afternoon, so I think we're cresting back into ideal conditions. Absolutely thrilled to get a crack at Our Lady of the Lake, the Florida Club, this weekend under scramble conditions. We're going to be firing at pins. I'm so tuned up playing on those bowling alley hard greens in Jacksonville, wherever I was, Arkansas, that I'm really excited for some nice grabby Bermuda to bring me back to life. So who else is here?
My name is Jordan Shank. I am in the still frigid Harrisonburg, Virginia, where I believe we're under a wind advisory until 5 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday. So don't ever let it be said that we're not battling the elements to bring you this program. I'm on the social medias at Shank Jordan. I see that it's Spotify Wrapped season. So I look forward to internally roasting every Instagram story I see on my feed with those artists and those songs. I also would, maybe I'll have to ask the Spotify connection I have why they choose the beginning of December to do this rather than, I mean, I know you're like, you kind of filter out the holiday music out of the equation and people are posting other stuff on socials around the holidays. So maybe it's a lull that they decided would be a good point to take advantage of on the calendar. But some music, you know, released recently that I'm probably going to be listening to a lot of may have cracked some of these lists.
You should also ask him why they cook the books in favor of all the Spotify podcasts.
Right. Well, and I want to ask,
so crazy.
I want to get a definitive statement on whether Kendrick's streams were actually boosted by bot farms. If there's any credence to Drake's claims.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if it was. Drake lost. Just, we need to make peace with that.
No, I agree. I'd like to see the Slack channel.
All right, that's fair.
the Slack channel.
I'm going. I bravely posted my Spotify year in review this morning.
Earnestly, that was
brave. I didn't see it. I didn't see it, Jason. I need to.
It's still there in my story. I don't think it's not nearly as embarrassing as it could have been, or certainly would have been just mere years ago. So, anyways, while Logan checks that and preps his roasts.
You're a white guy. I think it's fine. Yeah. You know,
I almost put instead of basic white girl, just basic white guy. Cause
Zach Bryan was on a lot of people. Zach Bryan was on mine too. These things, I had a real schizophrenic one. I'm debating posting it.
Logan, if you post yours, I'll post mine. How about that?
I mean, I'll post mine. I don't really care. Mine was extremely all over the place. I guess I listened to the Dan Le Batard show like every day. All right. I get the show. I am a listener. That's my thing. Right. And they had me as my number one podcast this year was the Ryan Russillo Show, which I only listen to like seasonally. Like there's certain seasons where I listen to the Ryan Russillo Show. Like the Leptard Show does like 4 hours of podcasts a day, and I listen to all of them. There's no way
that based on like where you rank among their listeners.
I don't know. Versus... seems sketchy. If only we knew somebody behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have some questions.
Again, trade secrets, I'm sure. But right. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah. If you want to view my Spotify year in review, you can find me on social media at Jason Greck. Yeah. Like Jordan said, it's real cold. I was just upstairs working before hopping on the mic with you boys, and the wind was buffeting the townhouse. So I can confirm the wind advisory. Say what?
What are you working on?
I got a couple projects, Logan, that aren't ready for public.
Oh, proyectos. I like to hear that. Gee. That's nice. Very cool.
Tell me at least they don't involve ring lights. Just
not yet, Jordan. Okay. Not yet.
Body oil, coconut oil, and ring lights.
All right. The moment you think about placing an order for a ring light, let us know so we can intervene.
It really all depends on the success of these initial projects, whether or not I'll need a ring light later in the year. So
that's fair.
Very nice. Jordan, you ever stay at one of those fancy hotels? I could ask Jason this too, but one of those hotels that has like the ring light built into the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the wind had that.
Yeah, that's tremendous. I mean, I get why people like to take pictures of themselves with the ring light. It makes your eyes look phenomenal. Sweet. You look tremendous. Yeah. Like, oh, man, look at this guy.
Game changer.
big time finger guns, you know. The finger guns come out real fast. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Is that a vein? Do I see a vein on my shoulder?
Contouring. Amazing.
Contouring. Gentlemen, what are we drinking tonight?
Well, we're picking games. I seem to have found a bit of a hot hand, so we're riding it. It's a lemon spindrift with a splash of Tito's. My last lemon spindrift of the cube, though. So if I have another hot week, I'm going to have to go buy only a sixer of lemon, which is going to be tough. But
you might get a good deal, though. You'll be the only human in history that's ever purchased six lemon spindrifts of lemon.
They're just sending them out back. You can just take them.
Yeah. Blueseas. They got some blueseas on the dock back there for sure.
I have returned to Pale Fire, but I have a can of their new Kolsch. It's called Ludwig. It's delicious.
Ludwig. You need to send a sixer to TC.
I should. after your boy.
I have a tangerine LaCroix tonight. I'm back on low carb Logie's back, so we're debloating a little bit. We may have been a little swollen coming out of the vehicle for two straight days on the way home last weekend. So we're on the water intake right now. So. Anyhow, well, lovely to see you guys. Sorry that it's so bitter cold and windy in the Berg, but 'tis the season for those kind of things. If it's that windy in the Berg, imagine how windy it is on the drill field right now.
Oh,
in Blacksburg, you know.
I don't know if we can imagine.
They're probably having snowball fights.
They're celebrating the cavalcade of 2 and 3 stars that I'm sure signed with the Hokies today. Happy National Signing Day to you guys.
That's true. That's right. It is Fax Machine Awareness Day that we're recording.
Seems like National Signing Day has lost a little bit of steam over the past few years, huh?
Yeah.
Used to be an event.
When I was in college,
to be fair,
I worked for the football team at UVA. Yeah. I remember that Wednesday in February, and I remember leaving the office on Tuesday the night before and seeing somebody like checking cable connections on the fax machine, making sure like the belt was running fine.
They had the Xerox man out in the building with the tool belt.
Yeah, I remember packing up LOIs into FedEx overnights for like guys that were announcing the next day.
And who was the big recruit that year?
So the year I remember would have been, I think it was like Darius Jennings, Dominic Terrell, and then Curtis Grant was the big one. He did not sign with Virginia, despite our FedEx overnight effort. He went to Ohio State.
That's why I didn't recognize that name. Gotcha.
No, it's definitely taken a step back. And to be fair, it's because like they added a whole nother one and they moved it up to literally the week of conference championships just because.
Yeah.
But that was ADs wanting pin the paper before they could. They needed to fire coaches and stuff like that. It's all for bad reasons, but it has lost some luster. I do miss the days of the way, like, the only media available was the webcam on the fax machine.
Oh, yeah.
People would know when something would come through, and they'd, like, show the name and, like, hey, hey, everybody's happy.
Now Will, it's like, Hill. Yeah. Will Hill was out committing on ESPNU, things of that nature. Days. Oh, man. Wow. What a
iconic time.
Very good. Well, I think DBU might be back in Gainesville. We're excited. Mm. We're excited to see that. Other than that, it's, you know, Florida had moved up 11th best recruiting class in the country, 8th best class in the SEC.
Gosh.
So, congrats, I think, to the Gators. But anyhow, you got to do what you got to do. All right. Jordan, there was some chit chat from our guy, Tony Elliott, today. He announced that it was not his intention that Anthony Calandria enter the transfer portal, as if that was something that we were really wondering about. Like, oh, well, I certainly purposely ran him off, you know, not unintentionally. So, has there been any allegations or not allegations, but scuttlebutt?
Oh, I've seen some allegations.
Listen, I got plenty of allegations. Has there been any scuttlebutt about Anthony Calandria? Have you heard anything?
The in terms of talking? Landing, or in terms of
why did he end up in the portal? You know, I mean, it's not that surprising that someone would want to maybe move on from the Virginia program, but I'm just kind of curious. He seemed like he had a good thing going, and then kind of frittered it away of his own accord.
Yeah, I have not heard like, oh, this is the definitive reason. I would imagine. Like, the decision to bench him for the Tech game played a role in that. Some people have speculated that he was already on the way out, and that's what gave Big Tone kind of the gumption to go ahead and sit him and go with Musket. You know, unless you're in the room, you don't really know. But, like, happened upon some weird Reddit threads this weekend.
Love that.
With some rumors.
Wild. So,
not necessarily about the decision to transfer, but just about like how young AC and his parents allegedly operate or have operated for the past couple of years. Very, very interesting stuff. Take it all with a grain of salt. I'm not going to repeat any of those allegations, but... yeah, my guess is he lands somewhere in Florida, Miami, Florida State, FIU, FAU, UCF, one of the big five.
Yeah, I mean, him and Lincoln Riley at UCF could really make some moves. So.
Make some music out there.
We're not there yet, Logan.
Sweet, sweet music. Okay, I was just curious about that one. Does Virginia have another quarterback on the roster presently?
I think they had one who... there was the one Grady Brosterhouse.
Oh, sick name. Love that.
Who ran what they called the Brady Bunch tush push package.
Okay.
He's a big tall fella. I don't think I've seen him throw a pass.
Okay.
I think they signed two high school quarterbacks today. I would imagine they will be heavily involved in portal pursuits.
Some portal action.
Yeah.
Portal combat. Maybe DJU can finally reunite with Tony Elliott.
Man.
Boy, that would be grim.
Awaken the echoes.
It would be a grim scene for sure. All right.
So keep in mind that roster limits might be coming next year. And so they may not have room in the transfer portal, or they may seek to cut a whole bunch of people. And roster limits are a very under-talked about thing at the moment because everybody's up in arms about the playoff, but it's going to get real messy.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to get cut, right? I mean, just like...
Oh, yeah. I think, like, the average FBS team is going to have to cut, like, 15 to 20 people.
And then you're going to have, like, some sort of a weird club, like, taxi squad that just, like, hangs out adjacent to the football team, but it's not on the roster.
Triple A squad.
Yeah. There's going to be NIL deals for, like, the best... you know, taxi squad guy. All right, let's get to it. It is that time of year the carousel is spinning.
Humming even.
The streets are talking. Yeah. So Jason was so kind as to comb the internet and put together a list here of items to chat about regarding really our favorite thing to talk about, which is, you know, just fantasy, yeah. fantasy wish casting
Wild
coaches
for
different positions based purely on like the 4 seconds of App State that I've seen this year or something like that. So take it away, Jason.
Okay. So these are all since our recording on Sunday, because I think the first one of these happened like Monday morning,
right.
Roughly. So we are recording this on December 4th, the evening of Wednesday, December 4th. So who knows if it'll be accurate by the time it lands in your podcast app of choice. But all right, starting off, App State fired Sean Clark on Monday, which was kind of like there were grumblings in the App State community, but I don't think many people thought that they would do this.
Seems like a little bit of a quick trigger there for App, right?
It does. I realize that, App State has high standards. They're a very proud program, but they went 9-5 last year. The problem is they went 6-6 the year before that, so that in a 3-year span they've had 2 6-loss seasons. And I don't think, I guess they played in the conference title game last year because JMU was ineligible. But other than that, they've only won a single division title under him. So kind of just middling by App standards, I guess. And they opted to make a move. The top target I've heard, to no surprise, or I've seen on reports, is Neil Brown coming from West Virginia. I don't know why I wrote salaries offset. I must have just been purely taking notes there. But I think that that's going to be a very desirable job. My wouldn't it be hilarious wish casting would be, it'd be very funny to see Mike Houston go there. App State comes to Harrisonburg in the fall of 2025. But that I think that's probably the most desirable Group of Five job out there.
They moved so quickly because Neil Brown was available and they were
it wouldn't shock me.
We can get him and he's that good of a fit for us.
It wouldn't shock me at all. And I think that would be a really good fit. And so I think App State will probably want to move fast. I think they're in a bowl. No, they didn't. They missed the bowl. That's the other thing, is they're not bowl eligible for the first time, I think, since they moved to FBS. Now, it must be said, Boone, North Carolina dealt with some stuff this year. Got displaced for a couple weeks and stuff. So, again, seems a little bit harsh, but like Jordan said, if there's a target out there, the unfortunate fact is you got to move quick. I have no idea what it did to their recruiting and their signing today, but an interesting move.
They got to think, you would expect, they probably think they're going to have someone in place before the February date and try to just defer as many signings as possible so people have a chance to chew on it. But
it wouldn't shock me if they got something. Like, I would think there would be a coach there for while everybody else is playing at bowls. I think that would be their goal. So,
yeah, but I mean, Neil Brown is the bell of the ball for what reason?
Well, I don't know that he's the bell of the ball, like, across the country. But
well, for App State, for the best G5 job.
He's very – I think he, like, he's coached in the Sun Belt before.
Sure.
He obviously went to West Virginia from Troy after a very successful Troy stint.
Right.
He wasn't bad at West Virginia.
Sure.
You know, again, they –
he seemed to be one of those guys that kind of, like, was always, like, wonder what West Virginia's going to do with Neil Brown. And then he would, like, rattle off 3 wins in a row. Exactly. And he'd be like, oh, yeah. he's fended off the allegations yet again. Right. He beat the allegations.
I think he's a proven commodity. He's had a lot of success. And, like, Troy was very bad before he got there.
Sure.
I think he's a proven commodity. I believe he's let me see here. Yeah, he's from Kentucky. Originally, he played at UMass and Kentucky, but he's from Kentucky originally, so I think he's got roots there. I think it's more of a great fit for most of the jobs that are open. I believe he comes Well, I guess he played at Kentucky, so he kind of knows the Hal Mumme, Mike Leach system a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a air raid roots guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So
I love that. Anyways, just a, love there's to hear a lot that for teams.
There's a lot of group of five love for him.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I mean,
I don't think he's kicked this. I think it's a good fit, but
yeah,
you know.
I'm with you. I just was kind of curious, like, you know, I mean,
no, I don't fired. Like Neil Brown's not a like
recently
I don't think Neil
fired
Brown's
guy
going to be in the mix for power five jobs for a reason, but for a group right. of five jobs, he's going to be in the mix. So
okay, all right.
Some quick stuff. Utah State out west reportedly is eyeing Mr. Mendenhall.
Wow. Jeez.
They had
Broncos back.
Utah State was the first firing of the year. They fired their guy with cause back in the
fall,
early fall. And
my dad he played golf at my dad's club like 3 days before that happened.
That's right. Okay, I told us that. So anyways, that would be interesting. I guess probably more up Broncos alley. I don't know.
I mean, Utah, New Mexico, one of the four corners. Am I right?
Yep. Something like that. FAU officially hired Texas Tech offensive coordinator Zach Kittley.
Cool.
I think there was a reason for this, and I don't remember what it was.
There better be a reason for this because I don't recall like Texas Tech being exactly like can't miss TV this year.
I mean, they won some games, but
yes.
Oh, he was before Texas Tech, he was Western Kentucky's offensive coordinator when they went bananas in like 2021, and he was being talked about back then.
So he can run it up,
and he's apparently got connections to like he was like the main GA quarterbacks coach when Mahomes was at Texas Tech. It gets real weird if you dive into it. So
the Mahomes whisperer for the 6-6 Texas Tech team that had Patrick Mahomes.
Does he like share
the 23-year-old Patrick Mahomes
with Sean McVay? He's got some Sean McVay dust on him.
He's in chance. It's also, you know, I don't think FAU can be splurging for like an up and comer. They kind of have to try to get lucky a little bit.
They don't
bit.
Have Neil Brown money.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, they spent it on Tom Herman. They had Tom Herman money. And then they had to get rid of it.
I don't think we talked enough about, like, Tom Herman fell hard.
Like, yeah. He really did. He kind of changed up his look a lot, too, which is, it would appear there's been multiple crises that have gone on there. I'm not,
I think he's really gone through it this last, like, 8 years. So, anyways. West Virginia itself, apparently, the search, like, two names at the top of the list are Jimbo Fisher and Rich Rodriguez.
I love
both, which would be hilarious.
We could get them both. Rich Rodriguez, wasn't he, like, abusing players or beating somebody or, like, volleyball players or something? I don't know.
I think there was some pretty bad accusations that eventually got put to rest.
That's good.
I don't want to speak on authority with that because
how old is Rich Rodriguez now? He cannot be young.
He's one of those. Rich Rod and Jimbo could do shared custody.
I feel like he's a generation older than Dana.
Rich Rodriguez is 61, so he's like I think Cignetti's about that age. Right?
No, yeah, Cignetti's. I don't. That was one of my drawbacks.
I mean, Mac Brown got fired at 76, 77, like.
Jeez Louise.
You have another decade in him.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think Pat McAfee came out and said that West Virginia should rehire Rich Rodriguez, and it's going to hilarious one way or another. So,
I mean,
I also forgot amidst my research that Rich Rod was at Ole Miss for a year. That was funny to remember.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he did that. He's made the rounds, Rich Rod.
He's bounced around. He's got, I think he's got Jack State doing pretty well. Yeah. Nine wins, 8 wins in 3 years.
Right. He's like one of the inventors of that sort of modern spready option-y offense.
I think he was the first one to kind of merge the air raid with the read option. And Pat White and Steve Slayton kind of read people the riot act with that stuff. So. Right.
Well, and like a really depleted Big East schedule that they played every year, but we don't have to, that's fine.
We're gonna relitigate 18-year-old fights, Logan.
Well, I mean, it's nice when the only two good teams in your conference leave. I mean, Virginia Tech and Miami. Virginia Tech and Miami and like got out of the
Boston
conference.
College.
No, I think that might have been later. They probably still were putting it on Boston College.
Down in Orlando. Let's talk UCF just real quick.
Okay.
They've had a day. There seem to be some some smoke billowing from the Jamie Chadwell circle that UCF was circling Jamie Chadwell to be the next head coach. Since then, we saw some very hilarious rumors. I'll turn it over to you, Logan. You go ahead.
Well, I mean, I saw it come across, and I had to check the veracity of the poster, but it was from the actual Rivals account, and it got reposted. Jason, the one that got deleted, I don't know if there was a typo, and they just but they ended up reposting it a few minutes later. But it was one of those terrible graphics, it was contacted or something. But it was it basically alleging that it was a picture of Lincoln Riley, and it basically was just UCF has inquired about USC's Lincoln Riley. That was it. It was breaking news. They have inquired. I mean, I can't imagine Lincoln Riley is making that move unless things are exceedingly.
There's been so apparently ghastly. These sources. It was with The Athletic, so somebody legitimate, but it said that UCF did reach out to Lincoln Riley, and Riley actually addressed it today and said the potential of him coaching elsewhere is, quote, a non-starter. So,
okay.
What if
elsewhere is in the SEC eventually, you know?
Ooh.
What if Brian Kelly gets fired next year?
That'd be very funny. I don't know.
I mean, that would be funny. I would love that for all involved, but
there was, I feel like I saw something else on the UCF front recently, but I don't remember what it was.
So Jamie Chadwell.
Yeah.
I think that if Jamie Chadwell can recruit at all, and I don't know if he can or how he does doing that, he's he is a schemer. He is a football coach, right? He's going to dial it up. They're going to play offense. He's going to call plays. That's kind of his thing, right?
I believe that's the case. Yeah. That's what he was doing at Coastal. At least I don't know what he was doing at Liberty.
He was losing multiple games. A dark horse playoff contender.
That's right. He was
to Valdosta or whoever they lost to.
I am. They
did win that one game.
The other fighting owls.
Right.
But I've never been big on Jamie Chadwell. I think he was buoyed by having a very good, very experienced Grayson McCall the one year they caught fire. There was also COVID year, I believe.
Yeah. I don't know. Their offense was cool, though. I like their offense.
It's super fun. But I think, if he doesn't get his guy, I don't know if it works out that well. And so...
tends to be the case.
Maybe it works out. So, anyways, who knows what's going to happen at UCF. Could be interesting. UCF got some looking in the mirror to do to see if they they got to the Big 12. You know, good for them. They did it in 20 years, but turns out Big 12 is still pretty good. So,
and they got the space. Don't forget
And they got the space. They are very emphatic about getting the space. The University of North Carolina at Charlotte is still looking for a head coach after firing Biff himself, Hoagie.
Maybe they should bring Biff back. Maybe we need to start. They need to circle that one back around.
Our candidate at Charlotte is Biff Poggi, former Charlotte coach.
Give him a raise.
Yeah, he got himself a bump. Apparently, he got turned down by Neil Brown, which just lended more credence to the App State rumors.
I am of the opinion that Charlotte has to be a kind of a crappy job.
It is. A mess of an athletic. They're a mess of an athletics department. They have. If it's still the same AD, he has no idea what he's doing. He's a mess.
Sure.
He
I love this.
There was some Mike Houston drama when he left JMU.
Right, I remember that.
He sort of kind of took the Charlotte job, but then didn't, and nobody really knows what happens there.
I feel like Charlotte is sort of like FIU. They don't necessarily have an excuse to be quite as just dysfunctionally bad as they are, right?
The floor should be higher.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You're in Charlotte. You probably have access to South Carolina, North Carolina kids that are right there. You would think that you could probably piece it together in whatever. What are they in, the CUSA?
No, they rode the Charlotte media market from no football team at all to the American in like.
Oh, they're in the years. American. Yeah, so that's. Yeah. I mean, they really then are screwing the pooch. They need to.
Yeah.
They need to look themselves in the mirror. Also.
I agree.
Put them on the mirror list with UCF. All right.
Like, put them up there. Put them up there. University of Alabama at Birmingham. UAB people announced today that Trent Dilfer will be back after.
All right. It's going so well.
Spending pretty much like the last 6 weeks of the season being mocked as the worst coaching hire in recent memory. He will be returning for a third year.
Man, you want to hear somebody give someone the business. Listen to Stephen Godfrey talk about Trent Dilfer. He is not a fan.
Well, Stephen Godfrey was also privy to all the drama, like the Alabama Board of Trustees, who are all Democrats, tried to murder the program, and so
right. It's, well, yeah, it's and then UAB like got rid of the guy that actually wanted to be the coach. It's been awesome elsewhere. So
he's been at ULM and has them turned into a halfway decent squad, which is pretty incredible in Monroe and.
The second best win on Texas's schedule this year.
Nicely played. Let's see. Oh, these are just a bunch of stuff that even I hadn't heard about and found today. Oh,
yeah, I love when we get into Ball State, UMass. Yeah, you know,
we're giving all of it. I'll run down these quick. Ball State hires Mike Yurimovich or something like that.
Yurimovich.
Who was very successful at Butler and at St. Francis from the NAIA.
Butler? Like
yeah.
Where what's his name played?
Gordon Hayward.
Gordon Hayward's Butler. They have football. I didn't know that.
I believe they might have non-scholarship football. I'm not sure.
Okay.
UMass hires, I knew how to pronounce this, Joe Harasimiak. I think it's Harasimiak.
Okay.
He was a very trendy guy. He turned Maine into like a 9-win team, which is not easy to do.
He looks like a Maine guy. Strong beard. Yeah. I saw a picture of this fellow.
There was a lot of like, I think there was like talk of JMU hiring him when Houston left. But he took the Rutgers defensive coordinator job and now is getting the big whistle at UMass.
has ridden his successes as Rutgers DC to the UMass job.
I think it's genuinely hard to find coaches in the Northeast.
I don't think
a lot of people want to go up there. So
It's definitely a get fired or take, you know, I mean, like, it's a stepping stone or get fired, take the check situation. There's no
somebody to be there for 10 years.
Like, outside of like, I mean, what's the farthest? What's the school that has the most potential? Syracuse?
Yeah, by leaps and bounds. Syracuse and then probably Boston College.
Oof. Oh, maybe Thomas Castellanos wants to come play. Castellanos wants to come play for the Hoos, Jordan.
Maybe.
Love that. Love that pairing. Fresno State hires Matt Entz, who was most recently the...
We talked about him last episode.
That's correct. He was the latest head coach at North Dakota State that jumped to FBS, but he jumped for a number two job. He was also their head coach when they kind of started to trail off a little bit, when South Dakota State sort of jumped up and swapped places with them.
Trail off compared to their standard of always winning.
Well,
right?
Sure, yeah. They dropped from like one to like three or four.
They started losing a game or two.
No judgment, but
lose a game to another directional Dakota. It's tough. Right.
It was the Dakota Marker rivalry.
He's lost Matt Entz has lost control of the program.
Just get him out of there.
He's the new Kirby Smart. That's an interesting one. I had kind of heard that like it was a semi-strategic move. He was like a co-defensive coordinator at USC, I think, and like linebackers coach, but it was always pitched as like he's wants to go check out like FBS ball for a year or two, and he probably is going to be a coach. So we'll see. Fresno State has had success with like fun offenses, and Jeff Tedford who's Jake Haner was the quarterback there a couple of years ago, and so it'll be interesting to see if he wants to do the North Dakota State thing. Cause like, I never really I appreciated North Dakota State in that it was like slow motion offensive line porn. Yeah. When you would watch them play, like they blocked, I mean, they had plays blocked up, but like, I'm not sure how much like power eye you can rely on like at the 50-yard line, you know, in, if you're maybe playing, say, like, I don't know, another team out west.
It's,
even.
It's so,
another one of those
teams. Another one of those. Yeah. Your Boise States, your Utah States, you know, one of Broncos teams.
It's,
you know,
gotten God knows proof Broncos of concept.
Have boys in the hole. So
it's gotten proof of concept at Kansas State, obviously, but I don't like Kansas State also kind of in that same vein. I don't know that it works at Fresno State. So
yeah, but Kansas State, though, I feel like kind of like they're not running like I formation, like ram it
well,
down.
Not as, it's not as pure, I mean, got, as North Dakota State, but they, yeah, still rely,
no, they're running
on,
the, they're running the ball, but it seems a little schemier than I recall North Dakota State being, but that's fine. Yeah. That doesn't mean he's going to do the same thing. He probably didn't call the plays anyway. So,
fair point. Over in Huntington, West Virginia, Marshall's got some weirdness going on. I'm going to try to cliff notes this. So basically, there's been some like grumbling. We talked last episode about some grumbling with Charlie Huff. Charles.
Oh,
Huff,
Charlie.
Sorry.
Now.
Hey. Sorry, we're not that familiar. I apologize, Charles, Sir Charles Huff.
Charlie Hull.
And there was some rumbling. I believe there was a private plane tracked from Huntington to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where Southern Miss is.
Oh, just a couple of destinations right there.
So when, and you know, so many private jets travel between those two.
I went to an absolutely brutal Chili's Bar and Grill in Hattiesburg, Mississippi last weekend. I want you to know that. It was a tough look for. I don't think Chili's corporate has visited that location in a while to kind of get their finger on the pulse.
Were they doing Dollaritas? What was the draw there? It was just
we needed a place to eat. We were running a little thin on comida, so we had to eat. Maybe is there a chance the private plane could have been Brett Favre returning from pillaging another athletic programs for money for his daughter's volleyball team?
It's certainly not out of the question. We can't rule it out.
No, he didn't pillage an athletic department.
Sorry.
No,
he pillaged the welfare system.
Yeah. Pillaged COVID funds for the Southern Miss volleyball team.
Right.
Anyways, so there's been lots of rumors that, and like kind of a lot of smoke that like Charles Huff is about to be named the head coach of Southern Miss. He's been posting about Marshall this entire time. He got asked about it at a presser and said, "I would like to continue as the coach at the University of Marshall, but I don't have a contract to do so at the moment." And so it seems as though they've kind of just like not extend him sort of thing, which frankly JMU has done to multiple basketball coaches.
Helped on National Signing Day.
Yeah. Yeah. So nobody's really sure where things stand. Coach Huff is coaching his boys in a conference championship game in like 3 days. So
hell yeah.
We'll see. Some weirdness, though.
He's going to stand up there and give him the "guys, I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year" speech before the game, you know?
This could be my last.
So
That's weird. Poor timing in general on the contract expiring, too, you know? Yeah. You guys couldn't have maybe thought, like, is there a date in which is important on the college football calendar? Some might call it the most important date on the college football calendar. Don't want to have. Yeah. Huh. All right. Gundy.
Over in Oklahoma State, Mr. Gundy seems to be staying, but seems to be dropping both of his coordinators, just cleaning house there. Other coordinator news, Maryland's offensive coordinator, whose name I recognized, Jeff.
It's not Matt Canada. Damn.
And now I'm forgetting.
It was Matt Canada.
It has
been Matt Canada.
At one point,
I know that.
That was his office. Josh Gattis.
Oh, God. Yeah, that dude's worse than Matt Canada. Jeez Louise. Wasn't he getting run for UVA's head coaching job?
He won the Broyles Award like 3-4 years ago or something.
Yeah. Yeah. He won the Broyles Award in a season in which Jim Harbaugh removed him from calling plays during the season. And then they went on to be much better down the stretch. So, yeah, congratulations to Gattis, because he went to Miami and was just awful.
Yeah. That's right.
Man.
Speaking of
dark times.
Michigan's offensive coordinator also fired like 2 days after beating Ohio State, which is,
you know what,
makes the whole thing funnier.
I want to give credit to Sharon Moore for having the stones to like, you know what, this wasn't working. Yes, we just beat Ohio State, but I gotta make some.
Sharon Moore, the offensive coordinator there last year.
I thought he ran.
He was the line coach. I don't know if he was.
Okay. I thought he was like, oh, maybe. Yeah. Could be. Could be. I thought he was the OC.
That would be funny, though, if he was like, listen, I did this crap better than you did last year, so you got to move on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they had, like, massive quarterback problems. I'm not really sure that, like, the offensive coordinator was really the issue there. Lack of skilled players and revolving quarterback door. The Alex Orji thing did not go well for them.
No.
Anthony Calandria.
Which, to be fair, that the offensive coordinator might have staked his coaching reputation to the Orji thing working out. So, who knows? Nobody knows what happens in the room. Cal's offensive coordinator is also out that, you know, in breaking ACC news, Cal will be hiring a new offensive coordinator.
You know who Michigan should have hired for the Alex Orji experience is Gus Malzahn. If anybody could have made it work with Orji,
the Whisperer himself,
it would have been Malzahn. He loves nothing more than just a big, fast thoroughbred, you know, to lean on, right. Single wing.
Yeah, KJ Jefferson was one of those two things.
Oof, he was big. Gosh, that's that for sure. Was there a graphic that was like heaviest quarterbacks in FBS? And it was like, why did you just light my man up like this?
Roasting our guy.
Sheesh.
That's all on the coaching front. The other significant news is that South Carolina is hiring TCU's athletic director.
Wasn't Ray Tanner the AD?
Correct.
Yep. The old baseball coach. Yeah.
That's correct.
That's okay. Some high school sports stuff right there.
So, yeah. It is part of a different generation of athletic director hiring. That used to be how everybody did it.
Yeah. It's like bringing in the legendary Mo Weber, you know, to do your thing.
Back in the day, it was literally like, if you were the most successful coach at your institution, you just went straight from retirement into
got to be king. Athletic director. Yeah. Steve Spurrier did a great job avoiding that.
Well, that's way too much work for Steve. He's got a golf game to play.
This is true.
He's kind of the protege of Texas's AD, Chris Del Conte. He worked for him at TCU, obviously.
Wow.
It was apparently down to him and SMU's AD, who's also kind of another up-and-comer. Anyways, none of this matters except that hope he gets along with old Shane.
Yeah. So, Coach Shane's going to be on a short leash next year.
Might be. So that's the full rundown. Thank you for everybody for sticking with it. A lot of stuff happened in the last 3 days. So,
did you guys listen to the full cast this week? Speaking of Shane, Shane Beamer has a man who just witnessed like a car wreck on the interstate, like kind of energy at the end of every game.
It was a guy who just witnessed like over land on the highway.
Yeah, right. He always seems like generally surprised at how the game ended, and it's just like, oh, guys, you guys see that? That's crazy. Like
everybody lived. That was amazing. Yeah.
We won. I mean, who would have thought? I laughed. I laughed pretty hard. That was very hilarious.
Very apt comparison.
Shane seems like he's probably a pretty good guy, but it's just kind of fun to, you know, dump on him a little bit here and there.
I think he's doing well enough that he can sustain our jokes. So
right. Yes. As a hater, you know, I have to stick to my roots. There's something that I have to be true to. Okay. And I know for me and my house, we will be haters. So, all right, that's good. I guess we'll see some of these, like if Jamie Chadwell leaves, that will obviously open up Liberty and then we can talk about who's going to be Liberty's coach, right? Like these things.
Dabo.
That's right. The Godfather offered to Dabo to go coach.
Make him say no.
All right.
No buzz about who UNC is looking at. Is Arthur Smith still?
No, I think the Arthur Smith thing has been squashed a bit. I did listen to the Godfrey's Eyes show. Nothing too good yet. It was more of like a state of the landscape than anything else, but I think the UNC job is regarded as probably the best one available, or the one that at least has the most upside. Curious. They need to decide what they want to do. Bring back Larry Fedora, maybe.
Mm. That is an option.
People seem to love suggesting old coaches come back. You know, I live through this every year with every other year with Florida fans. You know. I mean, at the end of the day, we should have just never got rid of Will Muschamp. It's like, at least the defense was good and they recruited well. It's like, what are you talking about? Like,
recruited two positions well.
If Will Muschamp could assemble a team of entirely defensive tackles and safeties, he would. All five stars. All right. Okay, well, there is some football this weekend.
That's true.
There is.
So maybe we should take a trip to Pickville, or do we want to run down the non-Pickville games first? There's not that many exciting ones.
I was gonna say, I think there's only four non-Pickville games.
We can mention them.
Yeah.
It's conference championship weekend. These teams earned their way in.
So congratulations to what does the MAC have? Do they have the East and the West, Legends and Leaders? Ohio is taking on Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
Yep.
Miami of Ohio, I'm seeing as 1.5-point favorite. That this could be a tight one, guys. A little nooner on Saturday. I don't know why I started with that one. Sorry, my screen was scrolled down.
You're disrespecting some troops extremely hard right
yes.
now.
I see Western Kentucky, Jacksonville State. One Rich Rodriguez gets a chance to flex his muscles in front of the West Virginia crowd or whatever, wherever. And
CBS Sports.
We're not picking Tulane and Army.
No.
Army ranked 24th. This game is in West Point, and I'm seeing Tulane as a 5-point favorite.
Yeah.
Little home dog situation there.
Yeah.
And then I already mentioned the MAC championship game. I know you guys were locked into that. And then we had Marshall and Louisiana. Again, our guy Charlie Huff, if you will.
To the Sun Belt.
Yeah. Oh, Chuck yes. Huff himself.
Chuck Huff is duking it out. Is the extremely Cajun sounding name still the coach of Louisiana? I think so. His name is like Gastereau or Devereaux or
Colonel Dufresne.
Oh yeah, Michael DeSormo.
Yeah, Mike yeah. DeSormo or whatever. Lots of EAU kind of vibes going on there. So, you know, good for Louisiana. Glad to see they're still keeping it together. Okay, Jordan, now we can go to Pickville.
All right, let's do a quick ad read and a break, and then we'll go to Pickville.
Love it.
All right, we want to thank our sponsor again for the support, helping us keep the lights on over here. It is now time to get off the bus and into Pickville, where we've got 5 conference championship games to pick this weekend, all of which will have some sort of playoff implication, whether it be seeding or winning your in situations. We're going to start Friday night at 8 p.m. with the Mountain West Championship that will be played in Boise, Idaho, on the blue turf. Boise State hosts the Rebels of UNLV. Boise is favored by 4 points. And Jason leads us off.
I am going to take the Broncos on the Smurf turf. I think it's going to be chilly for this one. I saw like a 40 and below for most of the game. I believe the last matchup between these two, which was a great game, was in Vegas, I think. So I will take Boise State to do well on its home turf. The Boise State passing game is underrated. They sling it around a little bit, but they also still have the best player in the country in Ashton Giante, and so.
Wow! There's a take. I like that.
True bravery. I know.
Strong.
But I will have faith in his just lurking frame in the backfield in cold weather on his home turf.
Right.
For probably the last time, if they win. Actually, almost certainly the last time either way, because if they lose, they're not going to make the playoffs. So, and if they win, they're going to be a top 4 seed and won't be playing at home, which is weird all around. But anyways, Boise State.
All right. I'm also going to take Boise here. UNLV has had a tremendous season. A little surprised Barry Odom hasn't gotten more buzz for job openings, but there's also not a ton of, bigger boy jobs available, so maybe that is playing into it a bit. I'm gonna go home field advantage here. They're gonna have the best player certainly on the field in the country. That, you know, I'll let Jason climb out on that limb by himself, but I think, to Boise's credit, they're gonna have the best player on the field, and they've shown a willingness this year to also not try and force him the ball just for the sake of getting him touches and getting him stats and getting Heisman film out there. Like, the campaign is the campaign, but they do not shy away from doing what's going to work and what's going to win them games. So I will take the Broncos here.
Yeah, I think I got to take the Broncos too, based on, I think the home field advantage thing is going to matter in this one. UNLV has a fairly attractive profile when you see sort of like some of the advanced metrics. And like I said, Jordan, they have had a really good year, but opportunity for Heisman moment, a lot of stuff to play for Boise State. You know, I think they should be able to win this one by four. 24-20, push City USA. Here we go.
Yeah, that'd be a not awful way to start the weekend off.
Right.
We move to Saturday, where the Big 12 championship kicks off at noon. Somewhere.
Where is this game?
Texas. This is at Jerry World.
So it's at 11. They're doing brunch kickoff for their championship game.
Yeah, you got to create separation from all of the other games that day. To make Jerry's Cathedral the only thing on TV.
Well, they got to beat the sun, because that 3 p.m. sun beaming in there is pretty brutal.
Only one team has got to beat the sun.
Right, that's true.
Whoever's going that direction. Iowa State takes on Arizona State. The Sun Devils are favored by 2. And I took a look at the advanced stats preview here. There's like a half point difference in projection here, 27.5 to 27 in favor of Iowa State. I am going to take Arizona State. I think they are simply playing too hot right now.
They are vibing. They're vibing their faces off.
I'll just go with momentum coming off a big blowout win against a rival. They got to be feeling good.
Man, Arizona State.
The turf will speed them up a little bit too.
Arizona State in the playoff. Wow.
That's not a sentence I was prepared for.
No. I think they were picked to finish last, if not close to last, in the Big 12, which is impressive work by our guy KD, the Dilly Man himself, the Dilly Bar, as they call him.
Not the original Dilly Bar.
I was going to say.
That's true.
Figure.
Who is that guy? Tracy Clays? Was he the Dilly Bar man?
I thought it was Dilly Bar Dan, wasn't it?
Oh.
Some Indiana guy.
Give me one moment.
I think Tracy Clays was the Minnesota assistant that was eating ice cream on the sideline.
Okay.
It was his name's Dan Lehman.
Dilly Bar Dan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
DVD.
There we go. Back. Love it. I'll take Iowa State here. I think Arizona State has been coasting, vibing, and I think Iowa State is like the kind of team that sort of like is a like kind of a Kentucky situation, right? They want to invite you into the trap. They want to drag you down into the mud and the muck, and they want you to play their pace and their style. Arizona State has like done a really good job jumping on teams early and being kind of wide open. Cam Scadaboo is a fun running back to watch play. He looks like he would be a handful in like a hand-to-hand combat situation. You know, I could see that being difficult. Big legs, really big legs, probably squats a lot. So watch for him. They try to get him the ball in creative ways. But I don't know. I think Iowa State is tough, and they're going to be able to keep this one close. I'm not sure I trust Arizona State in like a slow scoring, sloggy game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm going to take Iowa State for similar reasons. I think they have the better defense. I think Arizona State has the better offense, but I think that in a neutral site game, kicking off early for everybody involved, I have faith in Iowa State's defense making this a little bit sloppy, and I think that benefits the Cyclones. So I'm going to take them.
All right, 4 p.m. Eastern time, we feature the SEC championship game in Atlanta, Georgia, the Mercedes-Benz Atlanta at American Airlines, whatever sponsor has the Georgia Dome these days.
I think it's Mercedes-Benz. They have doesn't Mercedes have the one in Atlanta and in New Orleans? That's weird. I don't like that.
Didn't Caesars have the one in New Orleans for a while?
Yes.
Okay. Anyhow, we're talking about the one in Georgia. It will be hosting a rematch of one of the more entertaining games of this season. The Georgia Bulldogs take on the Texas Longhorns for the SEC crown. Both of these teams pretty squarely in the playoff already. So
as we were informed several times, Georgia clinched its spot. So.
Yeah, that was a big overtime win to clinch their spot last weekend against Georgia Tech.
Joe Tess was doing a lot of work there.
Yeah, so could see some seeding implications come out of this one. The Longhorns are favored by 2.5, and Logan gets to start.
Oof, I will take Georgia. Give me some points there. They're basically playing a home game. They're going to be, I think Kirby will have them whipped into a frenzy. I'm not necessarily thinking it's going to go the same. I don't think there's an opportunity for really to go the same game path that it went last time where Georgia jumped on Texas early. But I mean, I think our guy Carson Beck threw like 2 or 3 interceptions in that game as well. He hasn't been sharp. He looked a little better down the stretch. But I don't know. I just think I still think that Kirby's like one of the best big game coaches going. You know, they did get a look at Texas earlier this year, and you know, an opportunity maybe to build on some of that. I just for some reason can't get all the way around to trusting Texas to like duke it out with in the lines of scrimmage with a team like Georgia for 4 quarters. If Carson Beck throws 3 or 4 picks, like, all bets are off. Georgia's just seems like they seem all too willing to play to the level of their competition. And I think when they play a really complete team like Texas, they're going to also look like a really complete team because they're going to need to be sharp and they'll be focused all week. And, you know, they're not just going to have to play half a game like they have a lot this year. So I don't know. I'm probably extending maybe too much grace to Georgia when the last time out, they definitely should have lost to Georgia Tech. But here we are. Give me the Dogs.
Well, obviously, I'm taking Georgia for pretty much the exact same reasons as Logan. When I was looking at it, I did notice Carson Beck went, he had like, I think he had 0 touchdowns and 3 picks in the Texas game.
Yeah.
And they still kind of
made like Texas, 1 by 2 scores, right?
I mean, yeah, it kind of made Texas look like a distant second. So yeah, coming back to essentially their second home stadium with, you would assume that Carson Beck can only play better than he did in Austin. I guarantee they probably did not enjoy this week of practice after 8 overtimes against Georgia Tech.
Right.
And yeah, I agree that for whatever reason, Kirby is probably the guy in the country who like gets his guys to step up in a big game better than anybody else now that Saban's gone. So yeah, the chance to get them getting points, I can't say no.
Texas is wearing the all whites though. Which is good to know.
Yeah.
I'm struggling because I could make such a compelling case for both sides here.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to take Georgia, just given the fact, kind of Logan, like you said, home game. Kirby's a big game coach. Beck struggled in the regular season matchup. They still won fairly comfortably. I am curious to, like, do we see some more of Arch Manning in this game, given the way Marcel Reed was able to, or sorry, the way Georgia struggled to stop kind of the Jalen Milroe QB run earlier in the year.
And Haynes King just last week.
Yeah, Haynes King last week. I think, like, because I'm thinking, okay, Texas ran the ball really well against A&M in the game I watched. And Georgia has shown, you know, whatever they're doing with their running backs. I, like, what gives me pause about Texas is that was a very emotional, like, game they had to get up for last week on the road at A&M, reintroduction of a rivalry game. I'm sure that win cost some energy and some emotions. Not sure how much they have left in the tank. And I'm not sure Sark is the guy to, like, get them right on a quick turnaround. I think if you gave them a bye week in between, that's a different story.
Yeah.
I'll take Georgia getting points in this particular situation. All right. 8 p.m. We're going to have simultaneous kickoffs here. The ACC and the B1G. We're going to start with the ACC. Clemson and SMU duke it out. Clemson needs to win to get into the playoff. SMU could potentially lose this and still stay in.
Oof, that would make some people mad. It would be
that fun. Would make some people upset. The Stangs upset are favored by 2.5, and Jason gets to start.
It brings me no joy to pick Clemson in this game. I might even go so far as an emotional hedge because I do want SMU to win. I want them to be in the
You're
playoff.
A Texas guy. You love all Texas schools. We've That's been over this.
Right. Clearly.
ACC charter member.
SMU. Jason's just an oil money guy, so he likes them all.
Yeah, that's where my family fortune is touched. That's not true. I don't have a family fortune. SMU hasn't really – they've only had one road game since the end of October, and that was Virginia. And, you know, not to besmirch that, but
besmirch away.
Please besmirch. Welcome aboard.
They haven't played outside of Dallas since an overtime – 1-point win over Duke that Duke kind of farted away a little bit.
Extremely
easier for them.
Yeah.
But I think Clemson's still pretty good. I think that loss to South Carolina does not deter me because I also think South Carolina should be a playoff team. And if nothing else is the most chaotic team in the country. So I think
that South Carolina Boise game. If we could get South Carolina Boise, it would go loco, you know.
Well, that would be wonderful. I think Clemson is probably more talented than SMU. I think SMU has done an incredible thing in their first year in the ACC, and I want nothing but the best for them. But Clemson getting points much closer to their home base than Dallas, Texas is. I got to take the Tigers in this one.
You don't think there's a lot of SMU grads in the Queen City, Jason?
To say, Charlotte's been the fastest growing city in the world for like 25 straight years. Everybody that moves there tells me that.
Just that Loudoun County.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go ahead and take SMU here. I think Dabo's lost his fastball in big games. I think Clemson...
These are the takes we need.
Has shown some, how we say, vulnerabilities this season.
Yeah.
Their last two losses have come in the past five games. They lost, just as we mentioned recently, home to South Carolina with a very slippery quarterback. And home to Louisville as well. Louisville, kind of maybe a similar flavor of offense that SMU tries to run in terms of pace and spreading the ball out and getting the ball to playmakers. Clemson struggled to contain that. So I'm very curious to see, you know, can Rhett get a big one under his belt? Because to this point, their schedule has not been the cream of the crop necessarily. That's not their fault, but it is the reality. But I'll still take SMU. They've had it cooking. Have scored 33 or more in their last four. So I'll take Coach Rhett, my guy.
Yeah, I would love to take Coach Rhett, my guy, as well here, but I think I have to take Clemson a little bit of a Jimmy's and Joe's situation. I think Clemson, when Clemson is able to move the ball and score on offense, the games obviously go much better for them, right? Like I don't love Clemson in like a low scoring game, if that makes sense. Like I think Clemson like has a good defense, and you know, again, I'm not really like making like a sick point by saying that like you need to score points to win the game. I think Clemson will be able to move the ball on SMU. I don't think they're going to be as like tentative and jammed up as they were last week against South Carolina. A game that I kind of thought that they had won like multiple times in the second half and just like really frittered it away. So, you know, they did lose to South Carolina last week. I don't know that like South Carolina to me demonstrated that they were clearly better than Clemson last week though, if that makes sense. And I also like, this is the time to, you know, get Klubnik running the ball occasionally and stuff like that. I think this should be a fun game. I like both teams' offenses able to score some points. So let's get pointsy in Charlotte.
Love that.
It's going to be like raining sideways.
So some nice 41-degree rain.
What are the chances that we get Dabo just like absolutely chewing out his punter during this game?
I mean, at least like one.
I feel like that's a proud championship game tradition for Dabo, is to just torch some special teamer.
Yeah. Yeah, we can put that on the bingo
board. With the love of Jesus.
Right. It's correction and conviction, not condemnation, Logan.
Thank you.
I know you've heard that sermon before. All right. Also at 8 p.m., our final championship game of the evening. Penn State and Oregon play for the B1G crown. This game is played in Indianapolis, Indiana. The dome Anthony Richardson built or is building.
Yeah.
So the Ducks here favored by 3.5. I'm going to go ahead and take the Ducks. I've tried with James Franklin this year. I really have. He showed some spunk after the Maryland game with the handshake, and I'll give him credit where credit's due for that. I still just think back to like that blundering performance Penn State put forth in the Ohio State game earlier this year, when I kind of thought their defense was like really, really going to step up and do some things. They really didn't. That Ohio State offense, which we saw absolutely manhandled by Michigan last weekend, was able to kind of solve the Penn State defense enough to win. I'll take Oregon here, more on the strength of like Dan Lanning, his defense. I don't think the Penn State offense has been the like explosive high-flying act that we maybe anticipated it could be when the OC was hired last offseason.
Right.
Give me, you know, I like the Ducks in the coaching matchup. I like their quarterback over Penn State's quarterback, and I think they've got it a little bit more than Penn State does.
Yeah, 3.5 seems like a kind of a skinny line, which is odd. It's interesting. They're goading me into something here. Oh man. I think there's going to be bad vibes in general. I saw our guy Bunky Perkins tweeting about ticket prices for this game. Like you could get tickets to this game for like $12.
Dang.
Exactly. So I don't really think either fan base is ultra motivated to travel to this game with a likely playoff game in hand. So not that does much, you know. Penn State people come out of the woodwork and love to be annoying. So that probably will and could happen. But I probably am with you with the James Franklin thing more than I distrust Oregon, even though I don't really know that I do distrust Oregon. They've done nothing really to be distrustful in quite some time. I think that Penn State could keep it close. I think Oregon backdoor cover. Give me the Ducks. I think Penn State's defense keeps them in this early, though. Like the first like 2.5 quarters could be like, huh, wonder what's going on here. But I just can't trust a conservative game plan down the stretch does not lend to Penn State success.
I am also also going to take. Sorry, I had to sit for so long that my throat closed up.
Yeah, I understand.
I am also going to take Oregon. They're the clear number one team in the country. I don't know if we've ever had a quieter number one team, like consensus number one team. Like they're just kind of hanging out there.
Because they play on the West Coast. Nobody watches their games.
Yeah, just kind of hammering people.
The media.
But they're still really good, Dylan. And there's like the clear top three for the Heisman race, and Dylan Gabriel is number four in like every single measurable thing. He's not going to get close to winning it, and probably won't even get to go to New York. But he's still really good out there, and they have
left-handed too. You love that, Jason.
We do love a southpaw. So, anyways, yeah, I like Oregon here. Plus, this lets Penn State drop a couple spots in the rankings and make sure they can be the first team to lose a home playoff game, as is their destiny.
That would be great.
Remember Notre Dame. You know this to be true.
That is probably true. Yeah, what's the deal with Oregon? Do you think Oregon would be favored against any other team in the country right now?
They'd have to be. They're really good.
Oregon, Texas would be an interesting line.
Yeah.
Fair.
But other than that, I think you'd have to favor Oregon just based on stuff.
Body of work.
Resume. The loss column.
If Will Howard had not pulled a Nico and Ohio State wins that game, are we saying that Oregon is far and away the best team in the country?
Not far and away.
Not far and away, but
okay.
But it feels like it's kind of Oregon 1A.
They are certainly the most deserving of being the best team, called the best team in the country. I'm not arguing there. I just in reality, when it came to setting lines with some teams, I'd be curious, how much respect certain teams would get, right? What would the line be if they played Georgia, for example, on a neutral field? Is Oregon a 1.5-point favorite in that game? Is Oregon they're not a 6-point favorite, you know what I'm saying?
No, I think they're a favorite by less than 3. Yeah.
Sure, right. That's what that's kind of what I'm getting at. This has been an interesting year. So I would be,
they're the definitive number one team in the country, not because they're so much better than everybody else, but just because they're the only ones who haven't tripped up. And if Boise State wins and Oregon beats Penn State, they're going to go into the playoff having beaten 3 playoff teams. So
they're
as tested as anybody. So it's just a very
fascinating year. Boise State's hanging their hat on hey, we only lost to Oregon by 3, you know. And so anyhow.
In autumn. So
right.
It could just be a house of cards that all comes crumbling down.
Could be. We've seen it before, Jordan. We've seen it before.
And Iowa State wins the national title. If
Penn State wins the national championship, I will be fairly upset. But
I'll be furious.
Just extremely.
We'll need to expand the playoff to 36 or something.
39 teams. Quad elimination, loser's bracket.
There's pool play.
The double loser's bracket. Pool play.
It's like the College World Series.
I mean, they just do that. They could just do that for football. Your pods could be your pools. You get pool play, and then, you know, just kind of moves on.
Yeah.
Start in September. All right. Cool. So, conference championship week is upon us, guys. It's almost over.
Gosh. Yeah. It just started.
And it's going to be cold and dark.
Oh, don't you worry.
It's going to be cold. Going to be started. Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys got anything else? Any big plans for the weekend? You guys hosting some barbecues for the conference championship games or anything?
Some BBQs. putting some kebabs on the grill. I think we're going to go try and launch them on Sunday.
Ooh, see if we can find some patches of green grass.
Love that.
The temps are supposed to climb this weekend, thankfully. So
the permafrost will be thawed out enough. You'll be able to feather in some flighty spinners.
The words frost delay have already been discussed when building the itinerary.
Fix my ball mark on the green without breaking my wrist.
Cool. Look forward to it. I'm really excited to share with you guys the inevitable like 71 that my scramble team shoots this weekend.
I want you to text us 3 hole updates.
All right. I can do that.
Hey, we're even through 3. We're even through 6. Hopefully that's not the case, but you know,
I'm looking forward to some more provocative lines off the tee, which is really right. should be fun.
Just grass
early. If you could jump on the photo club early, that would be nice, you know.
That's true.
But
shotgun start, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe if we could play like 13 or 12, whatever that terrible hole is, right out of the chute, just go ahead and get that one out of the way.
Get in the rearview mirror.
Hopefully you get one on the green, you can knock a putt in, just get away with the par there, and then it's all just full court press after that, giving it 17 holes of hell.
That's right.
They call me Nolan Richardson because of the way I be pressing, you know?
Poland, Richardson.
Hey, now we're talking. That's a video too that you shouldn't look up. Don't be looking up.
I'll take your word.
Holden Richardson. All right. With that, let's go ahead and land the plane here. Thank you guys for joining us on the Will Rob Podcast. It's all over the season and the podcast for this episode. You can find us on the internet. We're on Instagram at Wheel Route Podcast. You can send emails, wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com. You can go to the website. It is thewheelroute.com. You can check the pick spreadsheet there. This is, you know, another opportunity for some of us to get over 500, Jordan. So
yeah,
I think
two of us
have that. two of us have that opportunity this year. And so you can check our math there. You can stream some shows there. You can go back into the COVID archives there if you're feeling ultra frisky and bored. We support that as well. Until we meet again, we love you guys. Go Gators.
Go Hoos.
Go Dukes.